That's where your heart is. What you have passion for, that's where your desire and that's where your heart is geared. Amen? Hallelujah. And I just think that we just fall in love over and over again. Amen? That our heart is renewed in Him and in Jesus and who is my beloved. Amen? You know, sometimes our view of who we think He is... in perspective to how we love, maybe. You know, if your view of God is that He's this white-haired man sitting on a throne of judgment ready to smite the earth, then your view might be a little bit different, or your love toward Him might be a little bit different than Him who was out of the Song of Solomon, who says, I am my beloved's, hallelujah. And we see a picture of one of the greatest romances in the scripture, the Song of Solomon, and how he woos her and how he charms her and how he, you know, she starts out in the Song of Solomon by saying, I am black but comely because the sun has shone upon me and my own complexion or my own, you know, I have not kept. And so she kind of sees herself in the beginning as just the little servant girl, unworthy of any kind of love or any kind of affection. But if you read the Song of Solomon, he begins to tell her all through the book how desirable she is, how beautiful she is. He says, my beloved, there is no spot in thee. Another translation says that you are flawless. How many of you here this morning feel like you are flawless? Thanks, Monty. I knew I could get at least one amen, right? And because we all have a problem with raising our hand, don't we, and saying, well, that we're flawless, whether it's an external view of ourselves or an internal view of ourselves. And sometimes we so gauge ourselves, aren't we really our own worst critic most of the time? We live our life a lot of times in the shadow of the light of what we think other people think about us. Amen? Only to find out probably if you really knew what they thought about you, it would be more favorable than you thought. Amen? Because we're our own worst critic. You know, I know my flaws better than anybody. And second to that is my husband, and he can tell you all my flaws. But hallelujah. How many know the scripture says that there is no spot in thee? And Mercy Me wrote a song. I don't have the lyrics with me, but it's called Flawless. If you ever get to listen to the song, Mercy Me by Flawless. It's just a beautiful song. And how many know how He sees us is more important than how we see ourselves? Hallelujah. That I became the righteousness of God in Christ, not by virtue of anything that I could do. Thank God for that. But He who knew no sin became sin for me. What? That I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's the greatest trade-off of all times. Hallelujah. That He literally took my place. Hallelujah. And that because of a virtue of who I am in and who is in me, I stand righteous before Him today. Hallelujah. I stand flawless before Him today. I stand beautiful and altogether lovely before Him today. Yep. And I mean, you know, sometimes we have a hard time saying that about ourselves, and we have a hard time visioning ourselves like that. Hallelujah. But if we could ever see ourselves and see people through the eyes of Jesus, hallelujah, then that song we would sing with passion that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, and my heart will follow wholly after you. But here's the thing. Turn it around and hear Him sing it to you this morning. Hear Him sing. We sang that to Him, but hear Him singing it to you this morning. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, and my heart will follow wholly after you. Hallelujah. How many know that gives you a different perspective on who He is this morning? I'm not afraid of Him this morning. I don't live in fear. hallelujah, of a God who's about to smite me. I live in the shadow of his wings, the covering of a mercy seat. This says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In him I will trust. Hallelujah. Are you trusting in the one who is your refuge and your fortress this morning? Because if your trust is in your finances, if your trust is in your government, if your trust is in your own strength, I mean, we get disappointed a lot of times in that. But if our trust is in him, hallelujah, he is my refuge, my fortress, and he is my God. In him will I trust. Hallelujah. How many of trust is a great thing? To be able to have trust. Hallelujah. It's one of those things, you know, that amongst people, that when it's broken, it's hard to rebuild. It's hard to regain. Amen? Hallelujah. And only through the strength of the Lord can we sometimes build those strengths and things like that back. But how many know Jesus has never disappointed me? Hallelujah. Hey, here's another secret. I've never disappointed him. Now, I may have messed up at times, but how many know I was more disappointed in myself than probably he was disappointed in me? Hallelujah. Because his judgments in my life are always unto victory. Hallelujah. They're more to be desired than fine gold, Scripture says. His judgments are more to be desired than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Did you ever think about the judgments of God in that way? Sweeter also than honey, and more to be desired than fine gold. Hallelujah. Fallen in love, the song says, fallen in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Hallelujah. How many can say that this morning? It's the best thing I've ever done. So I'm so thankful for his presence this morning. Hallelujah. I want to go to Philippians 1 and 6 to start this morning, I think. And the title of my sermon this morning probably is No Expiration Date. Okay? No expiration date on God's promises. I want to talk about laughter in the labor. Hallelujah. We got Brandy in labor this morning. We're excited about that. Hopefully she's excited too. She'll be more excited when it's all done. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about that as I was kind of preparing my sermon. Let me know in the garden when Adam and Eve fell and they had eaten of the forbidden tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and we know that that was a mixed tree. It was a tree. Let me know in the garden there was a tree of life or a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of us do the same thing as Adam and Eve, so don't be so hard on them. Instead of eating from the tree of life, we tend to want to draw from the knowledge of the good and evil. And we live a lot of times in a dual or a double-minded mindset. Then a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. If you live your whole life, well, I'm good, then I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad. I mean, no, they ate from a mixed tree when they had access to the tree of life. But one of the part of the curse was that Adam would have to earn his bread by the sweat of his face, and that and women would bring forth children in labor, and there'd be pain in childbearing. Hallelujah. And so I was thinking about that, even in the curse. How many know having labor pains is not fun? Okay. It's no party, right? That's why they call it labor. Because it is hard work, okay? And so, but how many know we still opt to do that? We still opt to do that because of the joy that is set before us. How many know there are some things we will push through? There are some things we will labor on in because the end product of that is that we get that little bundle of joy, right? And so for the joy that is set before us, we endure those things that cause us to be put out of shape sometimes. Anybody ever had things in your life that just put you out of shape a little bit? Hallelujah. That make you uncomfortable. That mess up your plans for the day, that change your arrangement a little bit. Hallelujah. But how many know those are some things that causes us to bring forth sometimes the joy that is set before us? Hallelujah. How many know the things that you appreciate the most in your life generally are the things you work the hardest for? Amen? Hallelujah. And so, we don't get our blessings from the Lord by our works. We know that. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But out of our relationship with the Lord, it produces the works that flow freely out of us because freely you have been given, freely, you know, you get, have received, freely give. Hallelujah. And so, crazy as it is, we will put ourselves in that position on purpose. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Hallelujah, that women have babies over and over again because the joy that's set before you, right? So in Philippians 1 and 6, I want to talk about the promises of God today and laughter in the labor, but there's no expiration date on God's promises, all right? Anybody have any promises from God today? Two, there we go. Three. Got some promises that you're holding on to. Hallelujah, the promises of God. How many know Jesus is the promise we receive from God? The fulfillment of the promised one that was to come. How many know he came as a babe in a manger? He came, he walked, he lived, he died, he was buried, he was resurrection, and he ascended to the Father. Amen? And then he said, I and my Father, we're going to come, then we're going to take up our abode in you. How many know that is the greatest promise of all time? So we have promises that God has spoken into our life, things that we feel like God has promised us. But how many know we live out of a realm or out of a state that the promise lives in us? The promised one is in you today. So how many know your promises flow out of the one who was promised and flows out of the one that is in you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Another translation says, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many are confident of that very thing? We have to be confident of the very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you. How many has had him begin a good work in you? You've come to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. He has begun something in you, and he will perform it or perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. How many know it is his purpose, his power, and his divine will to bring about that perfection in your life? Hallelujah. Every one of you in here, he has begun a good work in you. Yeah. Hallelujah. He has started you on the right path. He has brought you to the knowledge of his saving power and his saving grace. He is the embodiment of the Father in us. It is an indwelling presence and an indwelling spirit. How many know we operate out of the presence of God in our life? Hallelujah. I was at a retail place yesterday, and the young man that was talking to me was asking me questions, and then he was wanted to know what I did and what kept me so busy. And I said, well, you know, I work at the school system in my day job, and the rest of the time I'm a full-time pastor, and I'm a full-time pastor at my day job too. It's not like you quit doing that. But I said, so I stay pretty busy and things like that. And so he was just asking me some questions, you know, wonder which Bible was the right Bible, you know. And I said, well, I have a whole lot of Bibles. I read a whole bunch of different translations and things. He said, well, you kind of answered that. It's the one you read is the right one, you know. So kind of a little joke there. He said, you can use that if you want to. So there, I threw that in this morning. And so he was just talking to me about the scriptures, and we got in conversation, not really thinking a whole lot about it. But later, as I'm sitting, waiting, the lady that was beside him came over, and she said, I overheard your conversation, and I heard you say that you were a pastor. And she said, I had a seizure at my job last week, and they don't know what brought it on. She had tears on her. She said, will you pray for me and put me on your prayer chain? I said, yes, absolutely, I would. But how many know sometimes we find ourselves in places and think we're only there for one purpose, only to find out that God has placed us there, and somebody else's life can be touched by the communication out of our mouth and by the witness that we have and things like that. And how many know we make connections all the time where we have opportunity to minister to people the gospel and the good news of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many can say he's still working on me? Yes. Hallelujah. He's still bringing me to a place of maturity, a place of that perfection. Hallelujah. And you know, that scripture talks about he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. How many know he has never dropped us yet? Hallelujah. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you. And so when we are struggling sometimes in our giftings, in our callings, in our purpose, know that he's begun the good work in you and he is able to perform it. Hallelujah, through the power of Jesus Christ. So many times we try to force the issue or try to force what we think maybe God wants us to do in our life, only to understand he's doing the work in me. And if I'll just let him work in me, he said, I will work, who will let it? If I'll just let him work through me, his purpose can be accomplished in me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22 in the NIV, if you have it. Hallelujah. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. How many know he has anointed us this morning? And his promises are yes, and we say amen. How many know what amen means? So be it. Let it be so. Hallelujah. And so he says yes to the promises. All the promises in the book are mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hallelujah. That's what the word says. And it says the promises of God are yes. And we just say, amen. Amen. Let it be, Lord. So be it. Hallelujah. And so we've received the promise, which is Jesus Christ. And he is our all in all. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. How many know sometimes God calls us out of our comfort place? He calls us out of, sometimes calls us out from amongst the people. Sometimes he calls us, how many know he called Abraham and he said, I'm going to take you out of the land that you're in, but I'm going to take you to the land of promise. I'm going to take you to the land of inheritance. Hallelujah. And so how many know sometimes we got to change our comfort zone. We've got to change our placement, change where we are and say, you know what, Lord, I'm ready for what your promises declare for me. And it might mean me taking some change of direction in my life. Anybody ever had to change direction in your life before where you say the road I'm on isn't taking me where I want to go, but I'm ready to change direction because I want all that God has purposed in my life? By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself, get this, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. How many know God's promises have no expiration date? Hallelujah. Therefore sprung there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Hallelujah. How many know Abraham and Sarah make it into the great hall of faith? Because they dared believe God. They stepped out of their country. They stepped out from among their kindred. And they believed God to take them into an unknown place. But yet they counted God faithful. Hallelujah. But beyond that, how many know it took something for Abraham to step out of his comfort zone and go to another land that God had promised him? But more than that, it took, God wanted to do something incredibly miraculous in the midst of them. Hallelujah. And how many know this situation, and I'm trying not to jump ahead of myself, but how many know what seems impossible with man is impossible with God? Hallelujah. When everything looks like it's not working, when everything seems to be dead and past its day, aren't you glad but God? Hallelujah. That God can step in the midst of your circumstances and your situations and begin to raise up those things which seem like they are dead and begin to speak life into them. Hallelujah. At his promise. Romans 4, 17 through 25. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. This is out of the Message Bible. But because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. I love that because he said he called Abraham a father before he was ever a father. How many know when God speaks purpose in your life and he begins to put a call or his hand on your life, you need to know the provision is already in place. How many know Abraham heard the word of God and said, he said, Abraham, let me show you this land. Your seed is going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. And I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And I'm going to multiply you. And I'm going to make your people plenty. And I'm going to bring you into the land of promise. And Abraham said, you do know how old I am, right? And you do know that I don't have any children. And the best shot I got right now is old Eliezer, my servant, is going to inherit everything I got because I don't have any children. So you are talking to me, right, God? You did mean me. When you called me father, but yet there was no life in my loins, that is what you meant was going to happen. Hallelujah. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. I love that. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. That's powerful to me. How many know we got to learn to live on the basis of not what we see with our own natural eyes, but on the basis of what God says? He decided to believe anyway. When everything seemed hopeless, go ahead and believe anyway. When it seems like it's not working, believe anyway. When it seems like you don't have it in you anymore, believe anyway. Hallelujah. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless, this 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. Your inability to produce something does not change God's mind. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. He said he didn't survey the circumstances. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. Sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham. It's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. Hallelujah. And so we look at the promises and we look at situations and circumstances in our lives sometimes and we say, I just don't see how this is going to happen. I just don't see how this is going to work out. I just don't know if God meant me. Did you ever have that feeling where you feel like, well, you know, I know God will do it for, you know, maybe the person beside me, the person, but will he do it for me? And so, and as I said before, we're talking about falling in love with Jesus. How many know our relationship draws us closer to him? Our trust becomes deeper. Our faith becomes greater. And we become more engulfed in his purpose than in my purpose. In his will than in my will. And in his ability than in my ability. Aren't you thankful for the gifts and callings of God are not based upon our abilities? I think all the time that God has a sense of humor. And you've heard me say before, he's Jehovah sneaky. He just kind of comes in and does what he does things and you think, wow, I didn't see that coming and I didn't see that in me. Hallelujah. Where God begins to pull out of you everything that you didn't think was in there and your purpose and your callings and giftings begin to explode and unfold and you realize there was more in me than I ever saw and thank God that somebody pulled out of there or pulled something out of me or spoke life into me or encouraged me in your walk with God somewhere. Everybody's probably had somebody in their life that's been an encourager to them and said, you're more powerful than you know. Hallelujah. If you're sitting here today, you've had somebody speak that into you because I'm telling you today, you're more powerful than you know. You are a force to be reckoned with. But I want to talk about our power of laughter today in the promise. I mean, you know, there's some things that just happen in your life sometimes that you just need to laugh. Amen? Because you can either laugh or cry. But rarely can you do both at the same time. You're either laughing or you're crying. Now, when we look at the story in the picture of Sarah, we're going to find out that she laughed at the promise, and then she laughed with the promise. See, there's a lot of different kinds of laughs. Somebody can tell you something, and you can say, you know, you get that little laugh, or you get that sarcastic laugh like, yeah, right. Anybody ever laughed, and you think, oh, that means, oh, yeah, right. Hallelujah. So God began to speak to Abraham, and as I said, the promises, and he began to say, Abraham, out of your loins, I'm going to bring about many nations. I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. And Abraham does just what all of us does and said, really, Lord, because these 100-year-old bones don't feel like they got it in them anymore. Hallelujah. And he looks over at Mrs. Sarah and said, and I don't know because Mrs. Sarah ain't looking like she got it left in her today either. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the scripture said that her day was past. She was beyond hope of that. Hallelujah. So we know what that means. She was beyond hope. She had passed. Hallelujah. In our day, they call it a name. They call it menopause. She'd already experienced that giant, that devil, called menopause. Hallelujah. I call it men on pause. And one of the greatest things you guys can ever get a revelation of is just men on pause. Because how many know some days it just ain't pretty? Because there are some natural things that are happening in our body that is changing how we function and how we operate. Amen? And sometimes it seems as if life is changing and we don't have any control over it. Amen? And these are all natural occasions. But how many know the scripture says that when her time had already passed for her to begin to bear seed and infertility had been a greater giant than what she could deal with. Hallelujah. And so she gets a visitor one day. Go ahead and go to Genesis 18, 6 through 15 for me. And And it says, and Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. How many know there's a visitor that stops by? 3 men. God sent an angel. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's what I was saying, and that's the King James version of her day was past. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? How many know this is that laugh, not like funny ha-ha laugh. This is like laugh, like, yeah, right, laugh. You ever had those days? When everything in the house breaks down and nothing is working right, nothing is operating, everything's going the wrong way, and it seems like it's just not funny anymore. One of those kind of laughs. And you look at situations sometimes, and how many know we tend to get frustrated over things, and really when we put things in perspective of a balance, we say, thank you, Jesus, because there are bigger problems in the world than what we're facing right now. I was joking with Monty and Tammy this morning, and they were talking about just some things breaking down and some things like that, and this statement was made, well, so, now, sometimes you're to the point where if it's under $100, you just say, thank you, Jesus, because, you know, you just think, well, that's doable at least. You know, maybe we can figure that one out maybe. And I said, but I remember the day when you had to sell 2 coon hides to get that $100 to be able to pay that $100 bill. Do you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When Christmas used to be paid for by coon hides that you gathered up on the road if you had to, because at the point you could sell. Nobody else in here ever had to gather up a coon hide. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. But how many know sometimes when we put things in perspective, we realize it's not as bad as we thought. And so here Sarah gets the promise, and it says, and she laughs and says, Can Abraham, who is old, and I have pleasure again? I love that, because he said, can we have pleasure again? How many know sometimes our pleasure is gone? And what happens in the midst of struggles and circumstances, we find ourselves without joy. How many know sometimes there's some things that just saps the joy right out of you? Just wrings the joy right out of your heart some days. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we laugh, but we laugh because we think, seriously? Really? I mean, really, Lord? Is this the situation? And when the word and the promise came, she laughed, not in joy for expectation, but she laughed at the promise and said, yeah, just don't see that happening. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Ask yourself this morning, is there anything too hard for thee? Hallelujah. There are people going through real struggles. There are people fighting some big battles. Hallelujah. But is there anything, Lord, that's too hard for thee? Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Hallelujah. Is that the end of that one? And so she, when he comes back to her, he said, why are you laughing? And she said, no, I didn't laugh. He said, no, you did laugh. We heard you laugh. Hallelujah. But how many know our laugh sometimes is a scoff at situation and circumstances, because our faith gets wavered. And as we said before, we take our eyes off of the focus sometimes of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Yes, cars get banged up and airbags go off, but Alexis is okay. So we can cry over cars, or we can shout and rejoice because she's okay. We can get bad news, but we can laugh today, Steph, because we didn't have cancer cells. Hallelujah. Jenny had to have surgery, but she's doing great tonight, and she's planning on being here tonight for play practice. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just got to find the laughter? You got to find some good and celebrate. Hallelujah. Because there are times in our life that sometimes things hit you from behind or catch you off guard, and you don't see it coming. And we laugh and think, where did this come from? And can this really be? Genesis 21. See, we can either laugh at the promise or we can laugh in the promise. Laugh with the promise. Genesis 21, 1 through 7 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." How many know today she's laughing a different kind of laugh? And everybody's saying to you, "Sarah, did you laugh?" She said, "Oh, you better believe I laughed. You better believe I laughed." We're laughing because not only has God brought about his promise, but he's given me a son named Isaac. And Isaac's name means laughter. How many know she birthed some laughter out of her loins and out of her belly? The promise was inside of her. The laughter was inside of her. The joy was inside of her. And she said, "Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." Hallelujah. And so on that day, how many know Sarah's laughter is different? It's a whole kind of different laugh. It's a celebratory laugh. It's a laughter like nobody would have believed it, and I'm laughing today, and everybody else is going to laugh with me. They're going to celebrate with me, because who would have thought that God could do the miraculous in one who was beyond? The reports didn't look like it should have happened this way. The circumstances didn't seem like it gave an opening to life to happen. It didn't seem like it should come about that way. But God has given me joy. God has brought laughter out of my belly. How many know sometimes you just need a good belly laugh? There is nothing more therapeutic than a good old baby belly laugh, right? Hallelujah, that kind where they just rear back and giggle to the point that it's got you rolling with them. Somehow, to me, the circumstances surrounding Sarah's delivery looks like all them girls are probably sitting in the tent with a belly laugh thinking, who would have thought that God could have did this, what he did? And let me tell you what, we're talking about a 90-year-old woman who gave birth without epidurals, without narcotics, without assistance, without even sterile environment. Hallelujah. How many know you got to get that baby out of there? You got to have strength to birth something. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to get to the point where you got to push through? Hallelujah. Where you got to push, you got to have the strength. And what happens is the hardest part of labor is when you get to that point where you got to push. Amen. Because that's the point where they come, the pains are bearing down like this, and they say, "Don't let up, don't let up, breathe, breathe, breathe." Like, how are you supposed to breathe and push and do all of this stuff at the same time? That's why they have them coaches in there. Hallelujah. And when sometimes in the situations in your life, it feels like things don't let up. But how many know you got to breathe and push? push your way through it, because it's when we do, that's when we see the joy and the celebration of what God has brought before, and we begin to birth laughter out of our loins again, and our pleasure begins to be returned to us, and we realize God has not forsaken us, but God wants to do something so outside of my mindset and outside of my thought process that I couldn't wrap my head around it. Hallelujah. How many know childbirth isn't for wimps? Neither is child rearing. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. A day shopping with them will wear you out. Hallelujah. A bundle of joy, yeah. Hallelujah. But how many know, even as parents and when we're talking about these kind of things, how many know sometimes you got to laugh at situations and circumstances or you'll cry? And you got to just find ways to celebrate life and celebrate the things. Hallelujah. And I made a note here that says, we laugh at God's plan, God laughs at obstacles. You got any obstacles in your way today? Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh, because God laughs at obstacles. Is there anybody in here that can say, I've seen God do above and beyond anything that I thought that he could do? I mean, I'm standing here today and thinking, God, I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know you could do it. But you have brought us to places that we never thought possible. Hallelujah. You laugh at obstacles. We laugh at the promise, because we think, how can this be? But how many know God laughs at our obstacles? Hallelujah. Do you have Proverbs 31:25 in the New Living Testament? If you don't have it, it's okay. What's that?
It seemed like that any promise that God had made to Abraham had been delayed. And sometimes in that delay is when our frustration happens. When we start losing faith, or when we start fearing, or we start worrying, well, maybe God don't know about this, you know, or maybe God's not seeing this, or, you know. And sometimes that's when it's the hardest, like you said, to trust God is when it's been, I've trusted him all this time, and yet it's not happened. Maybe God made a mistake, or maybe it's not going to be that way. And yet, if you just keep on trusting God, eventually it comes to pass. God's timing is not like our timing.
Amen.
God doesn't do it because we snap our fingers and, you know, say we want it now. God says, I'll give it to you at the right time. And a lot of times we think, well, when's that going to be? And all of a sudden, we realize it's God's timing. And whatever he's decided, that's what we have to trust. So we just need, you know, I've had prophetic words that I still have not seen come to pass. But it doesn't mean it won't. As long as I'm still alive, there's still a promise there. It didn't, what did you say, expire?
Didn't expire.
No expiration date.
Begin to really see the things of God and see the timing of God, see the action of God, and realize it's never too late.
No.
Never too late.
Amen. Amen. In Proverbs 31:25, I believe, in the New Living Testament, if you have it. If not, it's okay. But how many know, sometimes, you know, even in the waiting, we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. We don't always understand the will of God. We don't understand his purpose. We don't understand his direction. How many know when God speaks things in our life, we don't always understand why that. But I can guarantee it's always something bigger than where you are right now. When God began to speak to Abraham, it wasn't even so much just that Abraham and Isaac needed a son, but as much that God wanted a seed of promise. That God was about to birth something, a nation, out of their loins and bring something to pass that was so much bigger even than just Abraham and Sarah. Hallelujah. That God wanted to bring about Abraham, then Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes and the nation and all of that, what God wanted to do to bring them into a land of promise. The gifts and callings of things, the blessings that God brings into our lives are for us to be a dispenser of those things. I mean, we are a dispenser of the promises of God. And whether God chooses this vessel to do it or whatever vessel he chooses, how many know he chooses us to dispense his glory in whatever way that he desires in our life? And there are situations sometimes where God answers, but the answer is no. Amen? And we don't always know and don't always understand the mind or purpose of God, but we trust his will and we trust his purpose in our life. Hallelujah. The scripture says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of her future. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the joy that comes in serving God? The joy that comes in knowing Christ. The joy that comes in putting our trust in him and saying, Lord, whatever you've purposed for my life. I don't always understand. I don't know why things go the way that they go. But I know you love me with an everlasting love. I know you've called me. The scripture says, I know you've anointed me. How many know it said he's anointed us? Every one of us in here. How many know there's not just anointing in the pulpit or not just anointing with whoever holds the microphone? Every one of us have the anointing, the power, the impartation of God in our life to make us dispensers of his glory and dispensers of the life of Christ in the earth to everybody that we come to. Hallelujah. How many know we have the power to impart into people's life and to restore joy? Do you believe that? You can come into a circumstance and either bring it down or lift it up. Hallelujah. By the power of our words, we frame worlds. There was a clip this week on Facebook, and it was, if you saw, it was a little old lady, and it said that Thomas Edison, anybody read that the clip about Thomas Edison this week, and it said that he came home from school one day with an envelope, and he was supposed to give it to his mom, and nobody was to read it. He wasn't to read it, but he was supposed to give it to his mom, and he gave it to his mom, and the mom opened the letter, and he said, what did it say? And he said, it says that you're going to be one of the greatest minds of the century and one of the greatest of inventors, and that you don't belong in this school, but you need to be tutored and trained at home because, you know, you have great things in store for you. And so through the years, Thomas Edison's mom tutored him and taught him and trained him and raised him. But it was many years later that going through things that Thomas Edison found a copy of the letter, and he read it, and the letter said, your son is addled or has mental illness, and he'll never amount to anything, and you should remove him from this school. How many know her words framed his world? Her words framed his world. A teacher said that he has mental illness, and he's not going to amount to anything, but a mama said, you're the one of the best minds of the century. You're a genius. And you're going to be one of the greatest inventors of the century. Our words frame worlds. Hallelujah. And so we have the power to speak life and death into circumstances and situations. Hallelujah. And bring something good when everything seems hopeless, when it seems lost, when it seems beyond the realm of our capabilities. And you know, we run into people every day who are struggling with real life issues. Hallelujah. But how many know we still are messengers of the good news of the gospel that says our God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. Our God is a miracle-working God. Our God is a powerful God. Hallelujah. And even when our circumstances don't line up with what we see, we choose to see something higher, and we choose to change our focus to a higher place. Hallelujah. So how many know sometimes you just got to laugh? You got to laugh through the labor. You got to laugh through the unbelief. You got to laugh your way through some things. You got to throw your head back sometimes and laugh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the condition of our heart and the faith and our attitude. How many know attitude determines altitude?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. By having our faith in a higher place. There's just sometimes things that are beyond my control and out of my realm of capabilities, but it's never out of the realm of his capabilities. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. When it seemed hopeless. Hallelujah. So she has something to laugh about today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And even in the midst of sorrow, there's still something to rejoice about. There's something to laugh about. Hallelujah. Because we reframe our minds and our focus becomes to a higher place because it's all about him. Amen. Hallelujah. So Robert has a clip run for us this morning. So this is what I want to leave you with this morning. I mean, sometimes you just got to throw your head back and laugh. The scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Hallelujah. If you are in despair or you're brokenhearted, you need to hang out with somebody who has a merry heart. Hallelujah. You got to hang out with somebody who's got some merry medicine. A good old laugh. Hallelujah. Laughter is the best medicine. It's the best therapy. Amen?
She just loves it.
You just need a belly laugh. See, I think that Sarah probably went from her sarcastic laugh to that kind of laugh. Say, God, you're awesome. God, you're awesome. Stand. It sure is. It sure is. Amen. Rejoice. We can mourn or rejoice. Hallelujah. Laughter changes things. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to throw your head back and have a good old belly laugh. Hallelujah. How many know that's what worship is and praise? When we in rejoicing, it's not always just for worship is more unto God and praise is unto God. But how many know it's also for us? I was teasing Paul this morning. He said he had a little bit of stiffness in his neck. I said, oh, that's all right. Worship will work that right out of you. You get to raising your hands and praying and worshiping. And how many know it just begins to work the kinks out of you? Hallelujah. If nothing else, it changes your focus and puts your focus on him. And in the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can do great things among us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing something for us, Beth.
Jesus.